A story of entrepreneurship and empowerment now amidst the sad sign of social unraveling in North Korea. Crystal meth, methamphetamine, which has become entwined in some parts of American rural culture, has become a casual ritual for North Koreans. Since the 1990s, when the North Korean government backed away from mass production of meth, which actually originated in Japan in the 19th century, smaller producers are trying to make a living and dull the sting of their own lives by becoming meth sellers. LA Times Beijing Bureau Chief Barbara Demick writes that in North Korea, meth is offered as casually as a cup of tea. Barbara, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
How did you discover this?
Well, I work regularly at the North Korean border. I'm often interviewing defectors there. And about 3-4 years ago, I started hearing people talking about what they call aurum or ice crystal meth. And people were telling me that they were taking it for colds, for energy, to study, to cut the hunger. And I was there just recently, 2 weeks ago, and just everybody was talking about it. And this seemed to be the biggest business that was going on.
So it's an entrepreneurial sort of motivation here, and it comes from a long tradition of the government being involved in this sort of thing. Can you give us a little of that history?
Well, yes. From the 70s through at least the 90s, Kim Jong-il, the previous leader, led this state-sponsored drug production and trafficking ring, also counterfeiting. But they used state-sponsored drug production to raise hard currency, and they made drugs, sold them abroad, Japan, Southeast Asia. There was a drug ship found all the way in Australia. And it seems the government has somewhat gone out of that business, but there were a lot of people who had been trained in making drugs, and you know, they needed jobs. And you know, that's the sort of good news, bad news thing about this story is that this is one of the few growing industries. It's one of the few things that North Koreans can manufacture. And so this industry is providing, you know, jobs and for chemists and pharmacists, but also very low-level people like the woman I profiled who are just selling the drugs at the market.
And these drugs are intended for North Koreans, for the Chinese. Is there a chance to ship them abroad and make larger amounts of money selling on the street in the U.S. and Europe?
Well, you know, there was a wild story in November where these five alleged drug smugglers were extradited from Thailand in a plot to smuggle meth all the way to the United States. So it does seem to be spreading. But what's strange about it is this also seems to be a privatized effort. A lot of ordinary people are involved in it. It doesn't seem to be so organized at the moment. And of course, it's going, you know, straight across the border from North Korea into China and then beyond. But, you know, it's also intended for the North Korean market. I think everybody I've met recently has used it.
How has it worked its way into the sort of informal culture of the people that you spend time with? And what do you think this privatization means in terms of people cutting their ties from the North Korean government at this moment?
Well, it's everywhere in the culture. One woman told me, you go to somebody's house and it's a courtesy. Instead of offering you a cup of tea, they'll offer you aurum ice, crystal meth. Teenage girl I interviewed a few years ago for a piece for The New Yorker said, you know, she was offered meth when she was 16 just to cure a cold. It doesn't seem to have the same stigma that it does in the West. And I think part of the reason it's selling so well in North Korea is there are big prohibitions against selling many ordinary things. It's, you know, it's illegal to sell rice or flour because those are grains and it's anti-socialist to sell those kind of products. But this is in an odd way more tolerated.
Barbara Demick, LA Times Beijing bureau chief, reporting on crystal meth and the people of North Korea, a private business venture. Thank you so much, Barbara.
Thank you.
A At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.